right. We shall see. Hello, Microsoft Surface device. It's me. So I don't know if anybody's out there, but we're going to start this thing, whether anybody's listening or not, whether anybody's here or not. This is what it's come to. If I'm not mistaken, we are the Worldwide IT Guys, and I'm Steve. And yes, I'm alone. All alone. I may get friends. I may find friends. But until then, I wanted to make sure that we had a podcast that was happening this week. This is, I believe, podcast number 37. Oh, look, I have a friend. I have somebody to join.
Are you that's talking the wrong, to yourself again?
That's the wrong one.
Is it really?
That's the wrong mic. That goes this way. John, please. John, oh, God. So, don't mind all that noise.
Steve is talking to himself again.
I wanted to make sure that we had a podcast one way or another that came off this week. So, the guys were supposed to do it while I was out of town. No, didn't happen. Here I am. I'm making it happen. Again, I'm Steve, and you are?
John.
John, welcome.
Well, we did have some kind of rare circumstances this week come up. That's why we did not have one.
Well, we did.
Earlier in the week.
It's just Thursday.
Right.
Which is fine. So I've got very little on my list. I know that there's a little bit of what's been going on generally in the world. Let's see, we have the political frame going on, which is a bit of a mess right now.
Yeah, it's pretty comical that it's now official that Donald Trump is a candidate.
He is.
He made the limit. He
got. He's
the,
no longer the presumptive. The he is the actual.
He is the actual
nominee
for Republican Party in the United States, which is scary.
It's not scary. It's oh look, Dion's joined us and he brought gifts.
I hope you're thirsty, everybody.
Dion has brought things to consume. That looks like an IPA. And what else did you bring?
Dogfish.
So we have
60.
60 is a good number.
We have our two sponsors for today's podcast: Dogfish Head Brewing 60 Minute IPA. And Brew Free or Die IPA.
John doesn't drink out of a glass because he doesn't want to wash it.
What is this? So. Oh, this is the 21st Amendment Brewery. That's
the good.
Other.
I want to try that.
Yeah, that's the other sponsor for today's podcast. So we want to thank them very much for sponsoring us today.
These are totally courtesy of Dogfish Head
and 21st Amendment. Yep. All good. So John wants to try one of these. You want here?
Yep.
Throw that his way.
Here's a can.
Here you go.
Come at you.
So Dion's joined us. Thank you very much.
Hi,
for
good
joining
afternoon.
Us.
Good evening.
We
good
aren't
morning.
Doing our normal introductions because I was Steve and Steve when we started. So
still
now,
Steve.
Now we're all of us. All three of us. We may get another joining or not joining. We'll see. So, oh, and look, Dan
is. All right, I was going to text you.
So the gang's all here.
We have a fourth. Fourths are good. So, how was your week, Dion?
You know, it's Thursday, right? So
it's you've got more time to talk through.
I don't think you guys could handle it this week, but how do I anything say words? It hasn't been bad. I think we've had for all of the work that I think we've gone through for transformation. I feel like the 9 months I've spent is finally starting to see a light at the end of the tunnel regarding some issues, and
that's a train coming the other way, Dion.
It's a train coming the other way. Thanks, John. But with the as a deer in headlights would say, I don't care. I'm just going to stand here and let it happen. So
we had this conversation. So I was in New York this week.
You were.
And we had this conversation. I forget who was involved in it.
Don't say it by name.
But there was a group of people, and somebody else said, you know, at some point you need to just address the fact that stuff's going to happen and you got to let it go. You kind of got to let things fail in order to improve, in order to get turn a corner and get there.
It's been my motto.
I referred to you, Dion. The problem is you are always interested in helping.
Yeah, well,
that you have a tough time with that concept. Just letting it, watching it. That's a train wreck. It's going to be a train wreck. Oh my God, look, it's a train wreck.
Oh, it's off the cliff.
I'm good at giving the advice of stop putting your fingers in the cracks of the dam and just let it break so we can build a new dam. I'm good at giving that advice, but taking it, horrible. I don't want to be that person. And coming from a service-oriented...
It's pronounced dyke.
It's a dyke thing to do.
Wow.
So,
thank you, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
Welcome, Dan, to the podcast.
Thank you very much.
But being service with a smile oriented, I just have a hard time with it. So I'm learning to duck and cover and get out of the shit faucet whenever I can. So
the thing is, my issue this week, which I routinely told you about, I'm part of a group that gets when our provider IBM does not know where to put tickets, they basically just assign to me.
Oh, I died. I'm sorry.
You're okay. Still recording though, right?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
The thing is, I can't reply back the ticket.
The best part about that is, John, is you are in a group that's related to our company / global / and whatever it says after that, they don't even look at. So it says global, our company name, and they're like, that looks like a good place to dump these tickets. It has nothing to do with
you.
They
don't look after global or says communications.
No.
Yeah.
It just says global.
They don't. But to be fair.
And we're going to fix that in the next month.
They haven't been trained.
Yep.
This is, you know, whether or not those tickets should go out of IBM's remit or not. So yep. What John's talking about is we have set up some routing that allows for the call center to take a call and say, oh, this looks like it belongs to, you know, Group X. And Group X should get those calls. That's correct. The problem is we've never told the call center, here's what goes to Group A, B, C, X, Y, and Z. We've never done that. But we've set up the groups, and John's a part of that, as am I. And so we're seeing things be routed to us. I have no problem with the fact that they're routing stuff to us. I have a major problem with the fact that they're routing stuff to us. It is IBM stuff to do.
Yeah.
They should know where this stuff goes.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah. And to be fair, I have jumped into the boat of getting everything set up without them knowing what it means,
right,
just so that I can get it set up so that the day everybody says, okay, you guys can do that now, we hit the ground running with, all right, let me just give you the final steps to complete this process and be done. So, you know, it's spreadsheet upon spreadsheet lately of making sure everything's documented and everybody understands exactly who does what for what reason and when and who's involved when it does get escalated. So I'm hoping that it's all very clear. It can be communicated. And then when they do say, okay, JWC, how can we help you? We're all set. So anyways, so I felt like
wow,
yesterday was a good day because I got some answers with some dates and I felt better. I think I've said that on this podcast about 3 or 4 times over the past 6 months. So
where did those dates come from?
Our transformation lead.
And what conversation was this?
I think you were in the room when he heard them too. So.
So are you saying that perhaps I'm not begging for anything here, but I'd beg a little bit. Are you saying that perhaps my participation in one of these conversations may have helped a little bit? Just a skosh? It was really funny.
The actual words were, we needed somebody in the room to explain it in order to get anything done, is what I heard. And I said, it sounds like one of us needs to be in New York every month to make sure these people do their shit. So,
well, you were being very generous by giving them every month. I looked at him after we walked out of that conversation and said, we'll see how long that holds.
You know, you and I both said for the past 4 weeks, let us know when we should be there, person in charge of transformation. Nah. Let us know when we should be there, person in charge of transformation. Well, they're going to be in the office. Let us know when we should be there, person in charge of transformation.
So the way it worked
and
for me.
We didn't even know.
The way it worked for
they
me.
They just show up randomly. They're like, I wish we were there to talk to them.
Was this yesterday? It was yesterday. So I'm sitting at my desk and in New York, and here comes this presence behind me. And I'm like, what's going on? And I turn, and he's standing there. And he says, Steve, do you have any time? I said, sure. What do you mean? Well, I was just upstairs, and it seems like if we had some time today, we could maybe like get some traction and get something done. And I said, okay, that's fine. So not knowing, you know, I said, look, I don't know what their schedule looks like, what your schedule, it's 10 o'clock now or whatever it was. And I have between now and like noon, I have a window. He goes, great. Let's go. Not like, okay, we'll schedule something. You know what? 11 o'clock, we'll do this, or 11. No, he goes, let's go. So we walk upstairs, and I stood around while these guys tried to find some place for us to have a conversation. And then we got in the room, and, you know, to be blunt, the guy who could actually think his way out of a paper bag, he sent me and my counterpart with the other guys to another room.
Okay.
And I'm going, great. So now I'm dealing with these guys. And it, you know, they were like, so here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to talk. I spent the first 10 minutes just going, I don't understand what you're asking here. I don't understand what you're asking there. I'm not sure you understand what you're asking. Can I just talk?
Thank God.
And they went, sure.
This is very Midwest of us, by the way.
I started with, here's how I think it should work.
Here's what we want.
Let's split this into two pieces. Let's address piece number one, XYZ. Can we do that? Oh, yeah, we can do that. Oh, excellent. So if we do that and only focus on that, do that.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to start talking about something else.
And I know you're being vague, and I know exactly what you're talking about.
I'm going to talk about something else.
I'm happy with that.
The second thing I'm going to talk about isn't going to influence that. So, and it was like this. I mean, I was talking to, you know, a two-year-old going, seriously, you got that. Anything I say from this point forward isn't going to change that, okay? And they go, okay. I got it. And then you start talking about number two. All right. That was XYZ. This is ABC. And they go, okay, but if I'm going to do A, what about X? No, fuck no. Fuck no. No. Let's do this again. Let's do this again.
Did you have a newspaper in hand? Smack them.
No.
Bad.
Little water sprinkler.
No, no, no.
Try spraying him with water.
Spray him with water.
They are more of a cat metaphor than a dog.
Quite that bad, but it felt that bad. It wasn't as bad as I'm making it out to be, but it just felt like every time I'd get them to, yes, I got it. I got number one. I'll deal with number one. Now let's address number two. They would let number two affect number one. It's like, ugh. But we got there. And we got there, and my good friend in New York, in our group, our transformation lead, he was all like, that was really good. That was great. We got somewhere. And I went, okay.
You feel like that we got somewhere there?
Okay. We did get somewhere.
All right, that's good.
But we need to reiterate that. And actually, in our call this morning, there was a conversation about, oh, well, we have to add these other things and mention these other things. And I was very, very cautious about this. I said, that's fine, but you have to start with, okay, remember one and two.
They're separate.
They're
don't
different, right?
Don't ever think one is dependent
reiterate
on the other.
Reiterate everything we did yesterday again,
yeah,
and make sure that they know that number one, just do number one. Do that. And we'll address number two separately, and this is what we have to change about that.
I think in our super vagueness, we could say incident management versus change and...
Well, the term is out of scope. Number two is all about out of scope.
Yeah. So,
and for those of you that know what that means, you know, we're dealing with nuance of what is out of scope for IBM.
The contract that was written.
And,
I swear
and,
to God.
You know, it is cumbersome and complicated because we throw this term around out of scope. So we have an agreement with IBM that they will deal with everything that relates to IT support for in-scope markets. So if you know, we sit in Chicago. Chicago is in scope. If we have a device that goes, you know, tits up, we call IBM and they have to deal with it. If we have a network issue, we call IBM and they have to deal with it. If we have a service, you know, we can't get to email, we call IBM and they have to deal with it. We're in scope. Out of scope
is just a mess.
Is a market that doesn't have that kind of a relationship. They are not supported. So, you know, let's just, and I'm going to, you know, be silly here. Reykjavik, Iceland, right? So Reykjavik is out of scope. I don't know if they're out of scope. I don't know if we have anything related to Reykjavik. Reykjavik, for our demonstration, is out of scope. However, Reykjavik is on our network, and Reykjavik uses our email system, and Reykjavik is, because it's on our network and uses our email system, probably gets viruses, right? And so it's an out of scope because the people weren't defined in the contract for IBM.
Yeah.
However, they're on our network, which is supported by IBM. They use our email system, which is supported by IBM. And because they're on our network and use our email system, we damn well better be protecting against viruses coming from this market, which is a virus system that is supported by IBM. So these systems are supported by IBM. The people and the desktop device that's in that market isn't supported. And that's where we get into this nuance of, whose responsibility is it? Who should be paying for it? Why should IBM do it? That's not in the contract. Oh, but it's stupid that we have these conversations over and over again.
Yeah. It comes on like we've had discussions about clients before. Like we have clients in our office here in Chicago that use our services and their passwords expire. And who do they call? They have no one to call to. It goes into a
right.
black hole of no one, unfortunately.
Oh, by the way, I am getting a unrelated. I am getting a live comment that we should be streaming this so that listeners can actually chime in.
So
in
can Periscope in, this, Dion. Get on that.
I'll Periscope it right now. I just, you know, who may be following me on Periscope? Maybe.
What does that mean? Ooh. That sounded interesting.
I just like that you used the word skosh in your last rant.
Did I use the word skosh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just a skosh.
You
I
did.
Love that term because my mom used to always use it.
Yeah.
You know, it gets towards the end of the night, Hey, Mom, do you want another glass of wine? Just give me a skosh.
Just a skosh.
Which means a full glass.
A full glass.
Skosh. I mean a little, but mean a lot.
That sounds right to me.
Dad, you want some more scotch? Just a skosh.
Just a skosh.
Full glass. All right.
2, 3, 4, 5 fingers. Whatever you got. Yeah, we're good.
Is there something wrong? So you're just dating me is what you're doing. I am an old man.
No, that is a common term, a fond memory for John,
and he's equating it to you. So
no, I thought that it was more of a Midwestern
alive.
Term. Yeah. But I guess we are from the Midwest.
That's true.
But we use that term.
Do you use that term, Dan?
I it's not part of my day-to-day vernacular, but I'm sure I've used it.
And it wasn't out of context.
No,
you didn't go, well, that's a term I own.
I didn't think anything of it.
Skosh. Yeah.
That's probably.
I think I had a CB that it was named Skosh at one point.
A CB radio?
I think so.
How old are you?
Shit. Damn it.
Were you a trucker in another life? Or
you know, I may have listened to a couple of those.
All right. Well, lots of rants and. John, what do you refer to it? Therapy. That was therapy session for Steve and Dion. Yeah. We can move on from that. So what's going on in... you were on vacation.
Yes, I was.
Oh, we want to hear... Let's spend the next 20 minutes
so
of the
how
podcast
high
talking
were, I mean, how did you enjoy Dion?
Mile high? Were you mile high, Dan?
5,280 feet high.
Yeah, you were.
For those who don't know, that's... Imperial units in terms of feet.
Is that a drug term, imperial units?
So can you feel the altitude?
It's an imperial term.
At 5,000 feet.
At 5,000 feet, I didn't feel a damn thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
At 8,000 plus, I've been that high before. Yeah. But I had not felt anything. This time, however, I did feel it.
Yeah, I've been to like Mexico City is very high altitude. And I've been to Colorado, and it really kicks your butt because it doesn't matter if you run or do anything or exercise. That altitude just kills you.
Smoke, drink.
The thin air.
the lack of oxygen. Yes,
it was dry, and then I also found out that marijuana is legal there.
What?
Yeah.
What? Wait, you got there, and then they told you that?
Yeah, they told us
that. Whoa.
So basically,
is it literally like a billboard when you get off the plane? There's like you can like,
well,
toke it up, dude. Go for it.
Here's the thing. We got we didn't know what to expect, and yes, I did know that marijuana was legal there before I got there, but it's not in your face at all. You actually do have to kind of Google search,
seek it out
to find out where the closest dispensaries are.
So they're not just stores on the street.
They are, but they're fairly discreet. Huh. So you might not know that.
God damn it,
John!
I got a call too. 646.
Yeah, it's the same guy.
Okay.
Same vendor, scum.
Scum vendor.
So yeah, you might not know that it's a dispensary or what it is. And then I guess probably. Part of my preconceived notion was that it'd be like Amsterdam, where you go into a bar or something, and oh yeah, you want a brownie? You know what's on the menu? No,
jeez,
not absolutely not. There's nothing like that.
Huh?
If you want to, it's illegal to smoke in public.
Illegal.
Illegal to smoke in public. It's illegal to consume in public.
Huh?
So
you can buy in public, you just can't consume in public.
Well. There's not like a
do they have
cart on the street that you can go and buy stuff.
Well, it's sure. Almost like alcohol though. You can buy, you just can't use in the streets.
Right.
So I will describe the process. So we went to one called I don't remember what it's called. I may have killed that brain cell. But we went to one that was on the 16th Street Mall, which is a very nice mall, and people who are familiar with Chicago, take State Street and make it a pedestrian mall with rail cars going up and down.
Oh, cool.
That would be what Chicago should do with State Street. Just make it little buses that go up and down. No cars. Maybe, you know.
Didn't they do that at one point? Wasn't there a piece of State Street that was like that?
Well, perhaps. But,
I think there was.
But do that. Please do that. Yeah. That would be great. That would be great for State Street. You know, rickshaws and horse-drawn carriages, you know, that's not my favorite thing, but, you know, that kind of thing. And a free bus. So a free bus going up and down. That's what the 16th Street Mall is. And the place we went to was on that. And so all it was a dispensary that you go down into a basement room. It was very nice, very clean. And... And there was two doors.
Well, not a lot of needles, just
one,
on the floor.
One was prescription only.
Blue.
And one was recreational.
Red.
Huh. Right.
Blue pill, red pill.
You go down, you show the person your ID, your valid ID, which was 21 or older. We'll call you when there's room in the recreational side. So they were pretty busy when we got there, and we had to wait 10 minutes.
And when you say recreational, but it was just purchasing, or was it like...
Just purchasing.
Yeah.
So...
Wasn't like a bar, like a cigar bar kind of thing where you go
well,
and smoke?
Well, I've never been to a cigar bar, so I can't really compare it to that, but you can't smoke there.
Okay.
So we get in, and there's a menu. And, you know, it's like, you know, do you want psychedelic? Do you want pain relief? What do you want? What do you want? Or...
Okay.
And then also there was edibles, you know, gummy bears and lollipops and all this kind of thing. So we got in, we asked some questions, we bought a T-shirt, we bought a pipe, and various other sundries. So and then we left.
Suppository.
And we said, so we're in a non-smoking hotel room. Where can we smoke? And she said, well, use your discretion. You're not allowed to smoke in public. If you feel if you would have felt comfortable drinking a beer, say in a paper bag, you could feel comfortable smoking your stuff. But there is a place where you can go and legally smoke. Back to the cigar bar reference. And I might get to that if we deem this interesting enough. But
so there are like
but
places.
It was way out of town.
Sure. There are places you can go and
yeah. So she suggested
I would assume that.
There's a river, I forget what the name of the river is that runs through Denver, but you could go down the bike pass there and smoke your stuff and probably the cops wouldn't hassle you if you were discreet.
Got it. Got it.
Or there was this place you could drive 20 minutes to by Uber and smoke your stuff there. We opted for...
I'm surprised there aren't, like, venues. Like, literally...
Exactly, and so were we.
I think in Oregon before... I think they're legal now. Isn't Oregon legal?
Washington.
Washington's legal, but Oregon, they actually have medical bars.
Uh-huh.
So people that actually have the medical... permission can go and hang out. I think they have to bring their own stuff, but they can actually hang out at a bar type place with other people that are sick or have the prescription.
Yeah, and I think that makes sense. Personally, if you're stepping into it in a graceful way and you're saying, look, you can buy here, but you can't consume here, and here's a place where you can consume, but we don't sell, I think there's some logic to keeping that as an interim step towards, like, a bar where you can go and buy and consume, right? So I just think it's surprising that I would have assumed Colorado would have had more ways that you could legally consume in a social environment.
Same here, but that was not the case.
Not what you saw.
Not at least what we discovered. So,
interesting.
So we did do the... It was called iBake. It was several miles. It was about five,
how
miles.
How cliche. Everything's going to be...
Really?
Out of town.
Uh-huh.
It was a hole-in-the-wall shack next to a auto body repair center.
Perfect.
It was in a kind of an industrial part of town that... felt very isolated. We went in there. The guy was nice enough, but very down to business. And, you know, and we had to show our IDs again. We had to put our name on a mailing list that he swore wouldn't be shared with anybody. And you could buy...
And you trusted this.
Exactly. You could buy Snicker bars and, you know, water there.
Right, yeah.
And
that's where they make a killing.
And there was several tables set up, which were occupied by people blazing. And then there was kind of a back room where there was furniture, you know, upholstered furniture that was all cloth, all reeking, all kind of gross. and as my lovely wife said, that, you know, when you go to some place like this, you kind of want to feel safe, and I didn't feel safe. So yeah, we did our business. We got our fill because, you know, we're not very experienced in that, and got our fill and we left.
I had the same experience in Colorado, not feeling safe, driving out of town. But we went to like the hot springs. I'm not sure if we ever talked about this before. I probably shouldn't talk about this on air.
What? Jeez.
Anyway.
Talk about it.
It's legal there.
The hot springs and being, you know, it, with nature. Yeah. Let's just stop there.
Being with nature?
Yeah.
Was that her name?
Is that a...
No.
Yeah.
What is that? We went to Colorado skiing one time in college, spring break. Bunch of dudes. And, you know, when you're in college, you're looking to pick up girls. And we heard from someone, it's like, you gotta go to the natural springs. You know, they're basically hot springs that you can... hang out in and whatever.
And whatever. Got it.
You know, meet people and girls. Yes. And it didn't really live up to what it promised.
Oh, just a bunch of hot guys.
It's just a bunch of dudes in hot springs.
Sausage. If you thought they were hot, Dion, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't been there. I'm just assuming.
So if I were to do it again, this is what I'll just add.
Here we go.
Is that I would get Airbnb where there is a outdoor place where you can smoke, you know, in essentially private, without affecting your neighbors, and, you know, out, you know, with a balcony or whatever, and that's the way to do it.
Enjoy the view with company that you may have even come with or could experience the same.
Yeah, or well, especially with. Like if you're downtown Denver.
Got it.
You know, the people watching on the 16th Street Mall is a wonderful thing.
Okay, I'm sure.
There are all types there. And I will say there are certainly people who are not shy about firing up on the Denver streets. You know, the smell is in the air.
Wow, sure. God.
But being out of town, you know, you don't know how rigorous the police are.
I did make that joke when you walked into Monk's, by the way. I asked John how you smelled.
we hardly smoked in Denver.
Yeah, but even being aside around
it. Since he's been back?
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God.
Aside from my bake. No, we didn't bring anything back.
Do they really check you, too, when you come back? Like,
no.
Bad or?
No. Well, and we looked it up. There have been, since pot has been legalized at the Denver airport, there have been 25 arrests. Well, then arrest is too strong of a term.
Is it volume?
25 stops. What they do is they turn, TSA turns you over to local police, Denver police. They make you dump out your stuff and send you on your way.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
They don't want to affect tourism.
Sure. Okay.
So
if you're part of the random search or and or they smell it on you, that's your risk.
Right.
Okay. All right.
There would have been no way they would have smelled it on us because we didn't smoke enough to smell anything on us.
I've never done it before. So I'm talking in the if I were to ever start to do that ever once in my life type thing.
Yeah. You would
maybe.
Go to Denver and do it.
Right. Yeah.
I get it.
But I mean, I've never done that.
I think next time we
zero.
We rent an RV.
RV would be, I would recommend the RV approach.
The RV would be great.
Or the Airbnb where there's an outdoor RV. Smoking.
Yes.
Worldwide IT guys road trip.
Road trip 2016.
We'll do a few remote podcasts.
Love it. We could pod the whole fucking way there.
So, yeah. That was the Denver experience. It was not
24-hour Worldwide IT Guys podcast.
Stream it. And I do want to emphasize that was not the emphasis of going there. Marijuana. Always.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
It's a lovely city this time of year with no snow.
The weather was great. Denver has more sunny days than San Diego.
Wow.
That's
not
awesome.
True.
That is true. I'm sure sunny. I'm sure it's more sunny.
300 days of sunny weather in Denver.
That's awesome.
Sunny but not
cold. I mean, he's not talking about temperature. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cold, but it's sunny.
There's no fog. That air is so clean and crisp and clear. Not even a cloud would want to be there.
It's very arid in Denver.
Yeah.
And
I'd still rather be in San Diego.
Well, yeah, I would too, especially in the wintertime.
And I think temperature plays a factor. But if you want sun, you got a lot of it.
All right, so Dan's holiday.
That was great.
Sounds amazing.
That was worth the time.
I'm on my way to holiday, and we won't really go into any of that. But I am going away. So next week, you know, I had to, by force of will, I had to make sure that this happened this week. So tell me you guys are going to make this happen next week.
Sure.
You said that last week.
Well, I mean,
wait, what am we talking about? I don't know.
The podcast.
Oh, okay.
One topic I was going to bring up this week was...
Let's just be clear.
Yeah. All right, yeah.
Be defensive. Bring
Our
it.
Our most important podcaster is off.
Oh, come on.
In L.A.,
I'm not off.
Filming for Comedy Central. And he's not here to do this. So that's strike one.
Don't care. I was willing to do it today alone.
No, by yourself. Okay.
All right.
I will be podcasting in a closet by myself next week. If anybody wants to just hear me rant in a closet for like an hour, that's great.
That's what we hear most of the time.
Yeah, no, you don't. Yes. You're lucky you don't hear my rants.
So what were you going to bring up this week, John?
The reason why I couldn't get into why I stayed home and worked from home on Tuesday was swatting, which is something that's in the news a lot lately with gamers and people. I'm not sure if you guys know the term or have heard it before.
I don't.
Gamer? What do you mean?
Swatting?
Oh yeah, swatting.
Swatting. So
educate the old man.
Here we go.
So it's basically gamers that play online, you know, online battle games together do this thing where they actually call in a hoax problem at another person's house.
Swatting is
another
bullshit.
Another gamer's house, and then, you know, the police and SWAT team show up, and it's all recorded online, and they get a thrill out of it.
So you were swatting somebody and you had to stay home?
No, it's not
exactly. So what happened on Monday, I am with some friends from out of town, and I got a robocall from my son's school that says there's been an incident at the school and the kids have been evacuated, and we'll give you more details later.
Right. So the term comes from robocalling in bomb threats so that SWAT teams are activated. So you're essentially swatting a school. You're making sure that
or other people, yes.
SWAT is activated to protect whatever you're trying to say is going to be impacted. That could be malls, that could be schools. Schools are the most commonly swatted because of the children and the impact. So it's very easy to say, let's send out a robocall that says we're going to put a bomb at these 50 schools and activate SWAT teams to
just for kicks. This is bullshit.
No,
it was on the news last
bullshit.
Week. Yeah, it was.
But here's
huge.
It, and the story goes deeper than just John's school, because not only was John's kid's school impacted, but doing further research, there are five other states that were included.
At least that in UK
and in the UK, the same amount of schools were impacted. So this was a planned 50 different schools, 25 in each country, swatting Impact in the same day.
At one time, it was at 11:30. The robocalls, which they can mask the IP addresses and they can disguise or like do a robocall. There's no way to trace it.
So they don't know where it came from.
It's all IP telephony.
Exactly. So what happens is
people should be strung up.
Exactly.
I mean, you know,
they can't. It's really hard to trace these people. If they could, this should be a higher level of terror. It should be labeled as terrorism.
It is terrorism.
And it should be labeled as the higher attempt to, like, you know, bomb planes and buildings. That's where it should be, because the activation that's required by so many law enforcement people, families, like, they basically do it, and, you know, we kind of talked about it in the office.
Yeah, somebody thinks it's funny, and it's bullshit.
But this isn't fun. I don't think this is funny. When they do 50 different schools in different countries on the same day,
are they testing something?
It's, you know, there's two theories here, and Ross in our office and I kind of are on the same page, and there's two ways to go at this. There's two ways to go at this, in that, are they doing the bomber who cried wolf, in that they do this too many times where you stop reacting to it, therefore it makes the school susceptible to an attack? Or are they trying to essentially lay the groundwork for how the reaction is handled and then react to that? So essentially,
they're poking at weaknesses.
I read articles like, our school was great, you know, the police were involved, the schools were involved, we're right by the junior high, so the kids were evacuated to the junior high and lockdowns put on there, and they made all the parents come in and pick up all the kids, which was a longer process, and they had SWAT teams all around the perimeter, and they researched, did everything. But
unbelievable.
When you read the articles about what happened is, you know, some remote locations in, like, Kansas or wherever, they just kind of, like, ignored it because they don't have the resources to do anything about it. So,
you
never know if they're actually seeing which ones responded.
There's the weakness, right.
There's a weakness.
So there's the chink in the armor that basically says, if we were to want to activate a cell against X amount of children in the U.S., you'd have a weakness, right? So, you know, it's just, it's unbelievable where we are.
And you know, this is where, so I am generally of the, you know, free speech, free market, free open.
Yeah.
Keep things, you know, keep the internet weird, right?
Right.
This is wrong. And how come we can't trace where this came from?
Mm-hmm.
And that flies in the face of what I just said. Keep things free and weird.
Yep. And
right?
The whole thing is, do you expose everybody so that you can save this thing, or do you allow the privacy of freedom of speech and track everything,
you're now sort of saying the terrorists won.
Yep.
Right?
Right.
Yep.
Yep. So, God, that just pisses me off. Thank you for raising this, John. Now I'm mad.
Sorry.
God damn it.
Sorry.
Oh, everybody have another beer. Crack another.
Oh.
Son of a bitch.
Social.
Oh, it's like shithead.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
Ouch.
But
everything's...
The kids are great. I mean, but the kids didn't really understand, because I think they thought it was a fire drill.
Yeah.
And that's what most of the kids thought. It's like, okay, this is a real fire drill. We have to react. The police were there within seconds, escorting the kids to the junior high, which is actually in our backyard. But we couldn't get our son because the process was long. They had to match parents up with their IDs and whatever else. But, it was just... I think the moms were more affected than the kids.
Then your whole hot tub experience came up, and they had to figure out what was going on with that.
Jeez.
What?
Thanks for bringing it back to a place of levity. That's awesome. I was just going to say, you know, the more they do this, we're not going to stop not protecting our kids. So
exactly.
The guy who cries wolf... we're going to still pull the kids or put them in a safe place and do that. It's going to happen if you do it 10 times a year. We're going to do it. We're going to put the kids in a safe place 10 times a year, and they're going to have to stay in school longer, and then we'll figure out how to deal with it.
Right.
But
right.
we're not – there is no one principal that will ever say, I'm going to neglect this threat because they've been doing it every day yeah. for the past, you know, 2 months or whatever.
And the thing is,
they're going to just protect the kids no matter
where what. Where I live, we kind of joke because, you know, we have 2 parades a year. And the police always like to bring out their like these like heavy armor like
sure, sure
yeah. Like our town is so overkill. How many like rapid? It was probably after 9/11. They just said we would need all this money
and
to get all
thank
this.
Thank you, war on drugs.
Yeah, exactly. So we have all these like trucks and things that I would never use in our city. But then all of a sudden when it's put into place and your effect is like great, we have it. So.
You're prepared for
we're
just
prepared
about
for
anything.
Something we never think would hit our
right.
city.
Right. And then Kansas is just, sorry.
Kansas is, yeah.
They got to worry about tornadoes.
It probably wasn't even Kansas.
Kansas.
It was probably like Alabama. Was could Alabama. Been, couldn't been. Have been.
Yeah.
Come on. Plain states got it
Maybe.
Together. The South? Not so sure.
So where
no,
do we
no
go
offense.
From there? Yeah.
No offense.
No offense.
All of our Alabama listeners.
No offense.
All of them?
I think we're safe.
Alabama.
By the way. All right.
You know, if you are from Alabama, please call in.
Yes, please. Please. Guess what? If you're from Alabama, you get a free T-shirt. What?
Just for being from Alabama. Yes. Find any of us from the Worldwide IT Guys.
Alabama
and we will get you.
Is
you get swag.
I'm sure there are plenty of very nice people from Alabama. Alabama is the armpit of this country.
Sorry. You get a free T-shirt mm-hmm. for being from the armpit, so
who,
don't forget to reach out.
What is the worst state in the union?
Man, that's dumb.
Come on.
Would people jump to North Carolina at this point, or would they say it's like,
I love North Carolina.
North Carolina's nice. They have golf there.
Politically, they might have some issues, but I would love to like go there and sort that out and go, you guys have a lot to offer, fix it.
I don't know.
Alabama's got
really
shit.
Mississippi?
Yeah.
Mississippi and Alabama. I think Alabama's worse than Mississippi.
Yeah, it's a tough
yeah.
call.
Yeah, it's close. Yeah.
We had a good time in Mississippi. When,
I don't know. I mean, the yeah.
I know a great steakhouse in Mississippi.
Just,
Alabama loses. I'm sorry.
Just because of Roll Tide? Should we say they're the Crimson Tide? They're the worst?
No, the Crimson Tide might be the best part, which is like, why?
It's the best thing about them, which makes them the worst. Got it. Yes. All right, I can go with that reasoning. I can get on board with that.
What is in Alabama? Nothing.
I don't
I'm willing
know.
To yeah, go out I, on a limb and be the asshole that said Alabama's the worst state in the union.
All right. I mean, I've been to North Carolina. I like it. They have a lot of spiders.
Isn't Clemson?
But yeah.
In Alabama?
Yeah. That's like the best thing to come out of Alabama.
Yeah,
like
maybe
Clemson.
Clemson is number one and Alabama
Oof.
Is number two.
Ooh, you're really... We have zero listeners from either of these institutions, so who really cares?
I don't think
but
so.
Yeah, I'm sure.
If any of you went to Clemson
yeah,
or Alabama,
right, yeah,
I apologize now.
Clemson,
yeah, but
nine.
You'll get a free T-shirt.
How many, how many Steely Dan songs feature Illinois?
Yeah, right.
Let's just go there.
Yeah, we're fine.
What about Illinois?
How many Steely Dan songs feature Illinois?
Oh,
I'm just saying.
Oh, wow. Illinois might be the third worst state, okay? But that's fine. It's not
We're
the
not
worst.
Alabama.
Exactly. All right, maybe that was the wrong place to go.
Credence features Illinois, but it's not in a good way.
It's old music, I'm
oh,
sorry.
Oh, I know. Yeah, we listen to the same stations, I know.
So we have a couple different topics that popped up in our channel this week.
Dion's
that,
got topics.
It starts with the most recent topic of how our nuclear programs run by floppy disks.
I posted that one, yes.
And then it goes all the way back to this woman's obituary, which basically says based on the fact that she's faced with the prospect of voting for either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton,
She chose to pass on to the eternal love of God and happiness.
Obituary, yes.
And she basically said the reason why her family.
She decided to like tune out because
her obituary read, instead of dealing with either candidate, she'd rather die, and she passed on May 15th.
So let's start with that one because I read this one.
let's examine that further.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, go ahead, John.
It's just so her kids decided to make a. Almost a joke out of her obituary.
I don't know.
When her mother passed away, they wrote that in the obituary in the paper.
I like it.
I think it's hilarious.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. Gotta have some sense of humor.
Country's going to the shitter. I'm out.
I'm gonna check out. Yep. I'm done. Yep.
It got national coverage because people thought it was of poor taste. John and I are on the same page.
Don't think
rarely
it's poor.
We're on the same funny. Page. We both agree with the fact that it's funny because we're
come
both...
Come on, I've seen the photo of you two, lovebirds.
We're... Don't share it ever.
We're
in
young.
Any...
Should that be our podcast photo this week?
If a back channel person ends up finding it, fine. However, if it's posted, I will be mad. Don't ever share that. And everybody who's on our Slack channel knows what we're talking about.
I'm secure with the Dion. I'm not sure about you.
You know, that was a time in my life, John, where I was transitioning and I wasn't really sure.
It was experimenting.
What was going on,
it was
and,
fine.
And yeah.
It's okay.
They were good times, but you know, turbulent.
So I like it. I think it's funny.
Yeah.
But
you know,
floppy disks for our nuclear program.
This was raised on 60 Minutes a year ago. I can't believe it came back up on CNN.
This week, yeah.
No. So last year, 60 Minutes went into a bunker and said, hey, guys, can you show us the state-of-the-art facility that is our nuclear, nuclear weapons program? And they're like, sure. And they were no technology like, you know, eye scanning or fingerprints or like typing in codes. It was basically a key. No badge. If you had a key, you could get in.
Yeah, but you needed two, right?
No. You needed two to launch fucking missiles.
Sure.
And a floppy disk.
That's safe enough.
But yep. To get into the room, it was basically like, and they weren't like documenting this, but they were documenting. It was basically like, so this dude who has a key around his neck gets you into the building. And then these two guys have keys around their necks who plug in. And then there's basically this floppy disk program running on a computer that's 40 years old that launches nukes.
That's crazy.
That's how old it is. That makes sense.
War games. And it is that old. And it is the only thing that the guy kept saying was it's completely self-contained, not connected to any network or internet.
Yeah.
It cannot be hacked. It is what it is. Those three or four keys plus that disk equal
I think
nuclear
it's probably
proliferation.
Until the Whopper goes rogue.
But no, the point is,
you play tic-tac-toe, it learns, and you're all set, Dan. I mean, it's very simple.
Dion's
we understand how this works.
Last comment there. It is disconnected. It requires
it's off the grid.
These four guys and a disk
Windows,
to do something.
Windows NT.
No, it's not Windows
no,
NT.
But Windows NT was DoD certified.
Nope.
As long as it wasn't connected to a network.
Yeah.
Is that what Hillary Clinton's mail server ran on?
Well, I don't.
I don't think so. Anyway,
I don't care.
So the article coming out showing a literal floppy, not like the 1.44 megabyte floppy.
An old five and a quarter.
Polaroid picture.
Five and a quarter.
Floppy.
Five and a quarter, which was
360K.
Yeah.
So 360K floppy is basically all we needed to launch nukes. And we still need.
I could see the conversation
nukes.
Like, okay, Russia's attacking us. We need to launch a missile. Can someone shut down their Pitfall game and erase the disk so we can, launch back?
We got to restore that.
Yeah.
It's in Amazon. We got to bring it back to this.
God.
And five and a quarter inch disk.
Exactly.
And Dan and I have made this joke before. And it will fall to deaf ears if you're not at least 35 years or older. But we used to cut the hole on the other side.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
so you could flip the disc and write on the other side.
Oh, yeah. Always did that.
God, that was amazing.
Double density, bitches.
Double density.
Exactly, yeah.
Wait, I'm going to buy single density, but I'm going to cut the other side and make it double density.
Showing the man.
Oh, I'm showing you 360. Oh, yeah. We were so excited about that. We thought we were hacking the world at that point.
But how do you protect it so it doesn't get overwritten?
Oh, man.
Piece of tape?
Piece of tape.
Done.
Piece of tape. You know, this
not
was
scotch
was,
tape, you loser. You need
it was. Yeah, it was simpler times.
Masking tape.
Yeah.
Come on.
It was simpler times back then. You could.
So Dion, yeah. I did. I back to simpler times. I sold Dion a computer.
Got it. Still at my house.
So is it in the archive? What it's do you
a,
do with it?
It is a little up? More rusty than I thought.
Is this
so
the
I
Commodore?
Had to clean it up.
Yes.
I had to clean it up.
The one
John.
That I finally delivered.
Yes. Well, that was last summer. So here's the funny thing. As I'm cleaning out my basement,
you bought that?
And as I'm looking, he gave it to me. And as I'm kind of, did I trade
I
beer for that?
Yeah, he might have given me some beer. I charged Gavin for my Nintendo.
Good move.
Well, yes. The Nintendo's worth money. The Commodore's worth shit. Looking through my basement at what I have, my whole premise for why I've kept some things and or maybe too much is I kind of like to see the technology that I kind of have grown up with and how drastically different it is from where I started.
Yeah.
So I don't have everything I've ever had technologically, but I have a ton of different things. The one thing I didn't have, which was lost in a flood, was the Commodore 64. And John had essentially the exact same computer as he grew up. So I said, hey, John, don't throw it away. If you're going to give it to me. 6 months later, I got it.
That was my fault.
It is in my basement. It is next to some old Apple computers.
I had it under glass. It was amazing at my house.
I have a G4 story. I have different computers from my generation that I've grown up with, different gaming things. And, you know, I just kind of want to have like a wall of, well, this is the technology over time. And just to be honest, I have things like my grandfather's radio from the 40s and 30s that he had in a box.
Start a museum, man.
I have my grandfather, my mother's grandfather worked for Zenith, and he was able to literally build televisions, amplifiers, guitars with his bare hands because he was very, very smart.
The quality
so
goes
I have,
in before the name goes on.
That's right.
Exactly. Zenith, which is now LG. But so my grandfather worked for Zenith as an engineer and built a lot of technology. I have an amplifier. I have speakers. I have a vacuum tube amplifier.
Speaking of which, I'm surprised that nobody's resurrected Zenith. You know, because you know,
you think the name
like Polaroid,
LG.
Polaroid
LG.
Was
yeah.
Well, yeah, but sure. LG,
but why not the Zenith?
Why not
brand
Zenith
of
because,
LG stuff?
Because that did exude quality.
Who is LG? They're not American. They don't understand the history.
Sure, but Polaroid.
Sure,
they can talk to people.
They went
right?
bankrupt. Kodak went bankrupt. Those brands are.
There's value to the brand name.
Yes.
Totally. Yep.
But Zenith fell apart, and there was no good reason because Zenith was quality all the way until they kind of fell away. So,
you know,
I'm surprised by that.
I am surprised by that too, and not because I'm biased, because my grandfather literally was one of their top engineers for many years. But I think the name holds enough for us older folks. It still has an American connotation to it, and you could bring it back. I don't think
you
it
could
ever
totally
will.
Totally bring it back.
But I mean, they could if they're smart and they're listening. Just contact
so,
us. We'll help
so
you with that.
We should try that. Actually, that would be a fun thing to do. Is like contact LG and say we want to buy the brand.
The name?
Just to see how they'd react. You know, I mean, would they go?
Sure.
$20.
I mean, that would be amazing.
Or would it be like, oh my God, no, you'll never get this. This is ridiculous.
It's almost like here in Chicago calling Macy's and say, hey, we want to buy Marsh & Phillips.
Yeah, yeah. As a brand name.
Exactly. Because yeah.
You would have to have.
Yeah, what survived Marshall Fields? Not Marshall Fields, but Franco. Franco survived Marshall Fields.
Right.
I heard a conversation that totally separate thing, but Hydrox. Remember the old Hydrox
totally,
cookie?
Totally. The generic Oreo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a small group that went out and bought the Hydrox name. At a very small, I remember this. I just heard this story. They bought this old Hydrox name. It took a long time and a lot of effort for them to actually get it away from whoever owned it as a brand name. But once they had it, they went, we're going to recreate it. And they recreated the Hydrox cookie.
I think I saw that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We could do it. It would be very interesting to me to see, like, if you tried to buy Zenith, what would they do as a brand?
And then,
holy
and then
cow,
re-put up the sign on the tri-state.
Exactly.
So, Wikipedia Hydrox, yeah, by the way.
24, yeah, right there.
And it says the similar Oreo cookie, yeah, introduced in 1912 was inspired by the Hydrox.
Yeah, Hydrox was first.
However, Oreo eventually capitalized and did whatever it did, right? Hydrox was largely discontinued in 1999 by the Sunshine, acquired by Keebler. Keebler said, get rid of this name, we don't care about it. Freya, you know, or Kellogg's. In September of 2015, the product was reintroduced by Newport Beach-based Leaf Brands, compared by Oreos, but Hydrox cookies have a tangy, less sweet filling, and da-da-da-da-da. So yeah, as of 2015 of last year, they've been reborn into their own thing.
I think of Hydrox.
And let's just be clear. Nabisco and Oreos are bastards for moving their Chicago-based facility to Mexico because it's cheaper. So fuck Nabisco. Buy Hydrox.
But I always I hear a name Hydrox. I think Hydroxy or like a cleaning supply.
Yes. Yes. You definitely think of it as something else.
Exactly.
If you went to any, like if we went to even Gavin, right?
Right.
Or you know, Ross or somebody and said, you know, Hydrox, what is that? They'd probably go, it's a detergent.
Detergent. It's a clean supply.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Horrible name. Yep. I agree with you.
Zenith? What's Zenith?
Quality. Zenith.
Quality. That's all you need to know. It's quality.
That's it. All right. So we'll go after LG and see if we can buy Zenith.
See if we can buy Zenith. We can come up with our artificial intelligence product.
I'll throw my grandfather's name around and we'll see what happens. Yeah.
Which nice. I used to love. Nice. I used to love that store.
Good for jewelry, anyway.
Jewelry and electronics. The catalog was great at Christmas time.
Yeah.
Not that anybody cares about American basketball.
I know.
But oh, God, you're going to bring up basketball?
I really did
bring
them.
No, let's make predictions for next week.
Oh, my God.
This time next week, what are we saying?
Do we think the greatest single season record of all time will win?
Nope.
In advance? They're done.
They're going to shit the bed.
They're going to shit the bed.
Yes. And we will laugh here in Chicago.
Can't wait. 73-9 don't mean a thing if you don't win that ring. That's the post I put in our Slack channel. God, it's so true. And it's going to happen.
And what's going to happen is...
I'm so sorry, Steph Curry, that you hurt your ankle or whatever it is, but that happens when you go for the record.
So what happens then? Does Cleveland win and the entire city of Cleveland is saved and turns around, but LeBron leaves next year?
I am hoping that Cleveland wins.
You got to finish this. You got to promote. We have T-shirts to sell.
Deion's on it. Don't worry.
A place to go.
Okay.
Just start like.
It's 2:30.
2:30. So
I'll be late for an appointment.
Oh, we do have another call. Should we cancel it?
It's not mine to cancel.
Yes, it is yours. You own that.
Well, it's only mine by name, but it's.
Well, should we say that? Deion, or actually, Steve, Andy, and Rich are not on it, and Sean. So we don't have quorum.
We don't have quorum.
The only thing that I will say is I would love to have a 20-minute discussion regarding how we will handle our Active Directory environment in the future.
Yeah.
Because we found out that the entire team that supported that is gone.
Yeah.
So I would love to have a 10-minute discussion.
Take ownership of it, whatever it takes. We need to do that.
JB has a plan. I have talked to him yesterday briefly about it. I think it will be great. And Dan, I think everything we've ever wanted is more positive now than ever. So I think we're in a good place.
No,
so,
absolutely. I mean, the fact that we don't have
anybody looking over our shoulder saying you can't do that.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's great.
Let's
so we're
going
to do what we want to do.
Awesome.
Do it. All right, cool.
Is there any other topics?
So there we go.
Is there
moving
is
on.
Is there a closing topic that we can add that's a little lighthearted.
Let me see if I have any vendor scum. Let me look through my...
Oh, don't get me started. My vendor scum was kind of bullshit this week, so I really didn't bring it up. But I did send one, if you didn't see it.
No, let me check my scum folder.
right.
No, I really don't have anything this week. Nothing really good. I think I have a short week, and...
The only, you know, the one that I had was that the robots and the future of jobs were, and it was basically a, if you, we've heard that the dystopian refrain from 200 years is technology is the only disruptive labor in the short term. So essentially robots are going to take over all of the jobs. How are you prepared for this? That was the vendor scum that I got.
Well, if you can play chess, you can beat
right.
Doe Ex Machina.
So, you know, I thought it was part like, oh, you know, you're that's very accurate. I have a cousin who lives in Michigan who does a lot of machine work, and that's been replaced by robots. You know, everything that makes a car these days is half machine, you know, one quarter man. But they're saying machines will take over more jobs. Are you prepared for this? And the jobs that you need to start working for are, you know, XYZ. So I was like, that's my vendor scum. Was basically, here's Skynet trying to continue to take over the world, where robots are going to build everything and we have no jobs. So that was my vendor scum. Did you have another one?
It's not Mexicans.
No, it wasn't Mexicans, Dan.
Because we're gonna build a wall.
No,
a wall.
No,
it's gonna be a huge
wall to keep them out.
So
we're relying on Mexicans, so we're good.
But I do love Mexican food.
I do. I really do.
God, too. Burritos, tacos,
yes, right.
Enchiladas, quesadillas,
Diaz.
Guacamole.
Anyway. Should we go to our next call?
I think we can wrap up. We do have to run to a call. So I'll just say we're the Worldwide IT Guys. Follow us on Worldwide IT Guys on Twitter.
Buy shirts.
And buy our t-shirts. And if you are from Alabama, send us a message. And we will not only take your name down and send you free swag, but you'll be included on our next podcast. All right, take care, everybody.
Cheers.